No, really, what are friends for? Friends are for going through hell and back with. I'm Gabrielle Ruiz.
And I'm Gabrielle's best romantic friendship, Pallavi Sastry.
You are.
I just wanted to kick it up a notch, you know what I mean?
With a sultry tone as well. Not only a notch, but a layer.
Well, I remember you telling me that when I asked you out on a date on Galentine's Day that your stomach fluttered. And I love that. I want to keep doing that.
Well, I mean, I know we sing our own jingles, but this is like almost like, you know what I mean? Like that
can't get enough of your love, babe.
You know, it's like you had this tone. So like we should maybe write a friend, a platonic romantic,
like a Barry White
parody off of that.
Yeah, like a Barry White. Barry like
I thought you said very white.
That would not be very white.
Or very us, because we're both not.
Exactly.
That is not what we're talking about on the show. Our non-whiteness. That is not what we're talking about on the show. But going through hell and back. I mean, I am so happy. I don't know why I'm so happy. Why are you so happy?
I was just going to say that I don't know that I can say that I'm happy right now. I am, but right. I was going to say that my sleigh and suck are sort of interchangeable at the moment because I am about to fall off the boat into the overwhelm ocean and I'm taking deep breaths.
Oh, go on.
It's nothing to complain about. I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to enjoy the fact that I'm trying to... Or in this moment that I've been wanting to have, it's the champagne problems, it's the growing pains, and it's also the really sucky part of trying to not feel guilty for asking a lot of my family to let me be me and do me right now. And I just have to keep telling myself that whatever I'm doing right now, it is for them and for us.
And for me. So thank you.
Yes, and for you.
I'll include myself.
Yeah, like I'm having to take really deep breaths. So,
well, thank you for being here and taking 30 minutes talking friendship. I really appreciate it. I also have, per usual, an interchangeable sleigh versus a suck of my week. The suck is we had our first kiddo stomach virus. Holy cow, it was an assault of like everything. And we were okay. But it was the icing of the cake of a very, very difficult quarter of our year. For Philip and me and our life here in Los Angeles, just like, what is the next chapter? What is the next go? What's the next green light? And we've been on standby for like so many different things.
But no pun intended, but you know, but you guys really did. I mean, as your friend, you guys really did get the shit kicked out of you.
We really got the shit kicked out of us. Holy cow. And like, it was one thing after another and I don't even want to get into that, but I have to say the slay through all of that was not only for myself, but for the friends that I requested this upon responded very well when I said, I can't text you right now. I don't want to tell you how I'm doing. It's just so much right now. I will text you once we have an answer of what we're doing. Give me like a couple of weeks. And these were like some people like that I love on the third friendship tier cake. You know what I mean? That we just have like parenting in common, or we just have acting in common that I adore simply. And we have a really good dynamic, but that chit chat, I couldn't do that chit chat for a while because it was so overwhelming. And I appreciate closing in my circle and really holding on like a life jacket to discuss what I need to discuss and how, including my therapist, how to get through. And that specific friend said, you got it. I'll be praying, you know, I'll be thinking of you guys. And basically you have to leave, like, I'm going to leave you alone.
Yeah. Which sometimes can be a delicate balance and a tough thing to assume. Cause like sometimes when people say that, you know, I need some space. Uh-huh. They actually mean, or like, or I'm feeling this way or something. They actually mean that they do want you to insert themselves. Like they just, they don't know how to ask for the help mm-hmm. of that person. Mm-hmm. But in this case, like you really did mean, please don't ask me anything. Like, and don't. it was at face value. So yeah. thankfully like, they took it that way.
Yeah. I was like, I'm just not going to text back. I'm not going to be like, how are you doing? Oh, that's so great. I'm so glad this happened for you. I really cannot. So, the theme of that kind of goes into what we prepared and who we have as our guest this episode, because this person is a not only a very near dear colleague of yours and mine, so like it's such a special unique situation, but like a really good friend person.
No, she's fantastic, and I remember she would like talk about her close friends and things while we were working with her. It'll be fun to dive into this, because I don't think we really gave her the space to do that on the show. So let's not wait any longer. Here with us today is a very, very special friend of the show. We have UX designer and our former star producer here at What Are Friends For, Miss Eva Radcliffe, was on the program today.
Yes. Hello. It's so good to be back.
Does Welcome. It feel like whiplash? Are you truly happy to be back? Or do you need to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm back?
Yeah, actually, guys, I got to go. I'm so sorry. This doesn't feel right. No, it feels good. Eva,
before you go, I'm going to send you a few texts on some to-dos that I need you to help me with for the show.
Add it to the list
that never ended. We just talked about that on Danielle Byer Jackson's podcast, where Paulie was like, you need to understand, like, you've got to stop group texting everybody.
It was a lot of group chats.
Too many group chats. Eva doesn't even know what the chat group name even means. What was that chat group name? Remember, you were like, I had no idea.
Raw Friends. There was so many different group chat names. I was like, which one is which? I have no idea where to go.
You made the practically perfect PR team chat group, didn't you?
Yes. Love alliteration.
Yeah. But we're making all kinds of jokes. But honestly, we really do. We're very fond of you. And honestly, one of the biggest level up moments we had at the show was while you were here and working with us. So we do very, very fondly think of you often.
Thanks.
And how can you just explain to our viewers our viewers and listeners have heard your voice before or have, you know, seen you in group chats before. Can you tell us like a little bit of like how you found WAF and a little bit of your journey there? And then we'll get into what had you finish your time with us. We'll get to that after that.
Yeah, definitely. I was very much kind of a lost college student in COVID times. You know, COVID shut everything down right as I was trying to figure out, you know, it was 2 months before I was supposed to graduate. And I was trying to look around, figure out what I wanted to do. Thought I wanted to do podcasting, specifically journalism podcasting for something like NPR. So I was looking for podcasting positions to kind of get my feet wet in the field, and stumbled upon your last producer's LinkedIn post, Alex Udome, and reached out to her, got the position, and yeah, dove right into podcasting, and it was great.
Hey friends, go on and flex.
I remember you anecdotally telling us that when you were ready to move on to your next endeavor from the show, you said that you had actually found what you wanted to do next. And I want to take a moment to celebrate where you're at in that journey.
Yes. And super cool. I actually found my passion, my career path through WAF, through an awesome UX designer. Oh, so I'm a UX designer. I design for Intuit now. And I found UX design through WAF, through Kat Velos, who came on. She's now a friendship author, but her first endeavor was UX design. And you know, I was kind of realizing that podcasting is a really hard world to be in. It's really hard to make a living in. Huge kudos to you guys for doing that. I was kind of really trying to figure out like where I want to go with my creativity, how to earn a living and live in California and live the life that I wanted to live. When Kat came on the podcast and was talking about how UX design is really all about people, listening to people, learning about people, and then translating that into beautiful app and website designs, I was like, oh, I think that's kind of what I've been looking for. I really love listening to people. I love talking to people. And then I also like kind of analytical sides of like research and data. And UX was the perfect combo of all of that. So right at the end of working for WAF, I started a UX design course. And that was 6 months, like super intense learning, like 10 hours a week of class, 20 hours a week of work. And recently, my big flex is I got my first position in UX at Intuit, which is an awesome company. So
slay.
That's the major flex in my life
work.
Right now.
Yeah.
Slay, slay, slay.
I mean, we definitely got you at, you know, in many aspects of the word, a transitional time in your life, right?
Huge transition, huge changes during that time.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the crux of what we wanted to talk to you about also is like, you know, we can like kind of sum up what that transition was, that time.
Yeah, there was so much transparency too that it was so admirable with working with you and then saying goodbye to you. So thank you for coming on the program and letting our listeners who have loved you already for so long, even if they didn't even know it, get to know you even more.
Of course.
What I remember when we interviewed you said, I'm taking care of my father right now. And there's this chapter in my life where I need to help him while he's home because he has a very serious, aggressive, rare form of brain cancer. And not only were we lucky that you had time for us, it was in my heart too, to let you have this time to work on this project while you were going through a huge chapter of your life. So would you like to explain a little bit about your father during 2020 as well, like everything that was going on?
Yeah, definitely. So my dad was diagnosed with very rare, very aggressive form of brain cancer summer of 2019. So right before my senior year of college. In the beginning, it was kind of strange because, you know, he didn't have that many symptoms, but we knew that the diagnosis was bad. He was given 18 months to 2 years to live. And right around when COVID hit, which was already this massive change in everyone's lives, is also kind of when he started to really go downhill. Started having some pretty big seizures that each time he would have one, it would be a major step down in his ability to function, his ability to communicate, his ability to move around. He was already bedridden by May of 2020. And so right when I found you guys was kind of when we were going through those transitions of like, oh, he has this disease that's like kind of the axe waiting to drop to like, okay, the axe has dropped. He needs a lot of care now. And with WAF, I was really lucky because, you know, I wanted something that wasn't going to be a full-time gig that was creative and interesting and kind of allowed me to have something to focus on that was highly flexible so that if I needed to fly home one day, you know, within reason, I could get up and fly home. Or if I needed to spend a couple extra hours a day with my dad when I was home, I could do that while working with WAF, but still have something that was mine and something to kind of have a purpose. And so that's kind of how it all fit together.
Yeah. And I remember you definitely did have those days where we'd be like, hey, I'm getting on a flight tomorrow. Can we change this? Or, you know, something like that. And I do also remember that you were either living near or with really close friends of yours that you were leaning on during this time, right? So
yes.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was a conscious choice. Do you want to talk about your choice to like be there in your space with those people rather than just be, you know, with your parents during that time?
Yeah, definitely. It was always kind of a hard decision to make to not move home. You know, I definitely had that option, but, you know, my parents, both my mom and my dad, very much were like, no, we want you to keep living your life and do whatever you have to do to be okay at the end of this. Mm-hmm. And for me, that really was figuring out a balance of being home enough to kind of satisfy my needs and also be there for my dad, but also still stay in San Diego with my best friends. And when I was here, try and just live life as fully as possible. So I really leaned on them for when I was here to like help me settle back into being in San Diego. Like that was always a really hard transition, going from being at home where things were very, very dark to coming back to San Diego where like it's so the sunny opposite
room
like
that you're sitting in.
Exactly, like literally like a sunny place. And sometimes that transition was really hard. Sometimes it was like it felt wrong to be in one place or the other, like I was missing out when I was home and, you know, wasn't doing enough to help out there. And then I would come back here and sometimes it felt wrong to be here. I was like, I'm not in the mood to do these things with my friends. And yeah, so those transitions were really hard. But whenever I was in San Diego with my friends, I was like, I feel like I have a duty almost to live fully in this moment and kind of take advantage of just the time that I have to enjoy life. My name is Eva Ratcliffe, and you're listening to What Are Friends For?
Yeah, and in our warm-up before we had you on, something that by preparing these notes that was so relatable in my current time and my current friendships is cutting your social circle down so you have mm-hmm. emotional bandwidth for the people that are lifting you up.
Yes.
Were there struggles with your friendships during this time that you needed to do a little bit of editing?
Absolutely. Yeah. I relate to that so hard. Yeah. I very much, you know, there was such a big transition period at the beginning of him getting sick. I think no one really knows how to deal with impending death, especially in my dad's case. There was never any kind of, he could fight this off or any kind of hope involved. It was always like, I just hope it's the best, you know, the least bad ending possible. But we had no idea what that really was going to look like. And especially, I think, for young people, it's very hard to kind of deal with that kind of pressure or that kind of extreme hopelessness. And just, I think, death in America, like, we just don't talk about death that much. And we really sanitize it and hide it away. So there was a huge transition in my friend groups where, like, a lot of people, I think there was a very clear line between people who reached out to me for me, where they're like very genuine in checking in on me, like anything I can do for you today, like, do you want to talk about it? Do you not want to talk about it? Like, those people who were reaching out for me were really obvious. And then there was a separate group that clearly were reaching out for them. Like they wanted to be kept in the loop or they wanted to feel like they had done their part. And I made a pretty conscious decision early on to cut my friend groups down. I made a conscious decision to not answer some texts or to do what you were saying, Gabrielle, about kind of being like, hey, I really can't answer right now. It's nothing personal. I will get back to you like when I can answer. And lots of people were very, very nice about that. And some people weren't. Some people were very hurt by that. And that was something that I kind of had to be okay with and be like, okay, like I need to lean on the people that are only going to lift me up right now. And then with those people, I really needed to communicate what I needed from them. Like there was definitely some growing pains at the beginning of like, I really wanted them to ask about how I was doing today and they didn't, or I really wish they would have said something different in response to something I said. And it took a lot of therapy and a lot of kind of hard conversations to get to a place where I could be like, hey, this is what I need from you today. And those were some hard learning curves at the beginning.
Yeah, because you want to think that, you know, in friendship, especially, that our friends should just know what we
exactly
need, right? And so it's like, it's work on both sides to be like, is this a time that I need to ask for this? And is that okay? You know?
Yeah. And I was really lucky in my immediate social circle to have my best friend, you know, it's hard to say it's lucky, but my best friend had lost her mom to cancer our freshman year of college. Wow. And she was who I was living with.
Wow.
I did not know that detail.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that we've been living together for 6 years now. We had been living together all of college then, had been living together when her mom passed. And having that person, you know, obviously like our situations were slightly different. No one's cancer journey is the same. No one's relationship with their parents is the same. But I was really lucky to at least have her, who like she always just knew what to say or when to say nothing. And that was really, really helpful.
I just love how the universe took care of you in that way.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. And my upstairs neighbor had just lost her father the year before to brain cancer.
Wow.
So lots of weird coincidences around that time.
You're just listening and holding on to who you decide to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Your roommate as a friend freshman year into your senior year, how much did that develop? Was there the deepness of it? Like, was there anything like, you know, I would like to say from like beginning to now, were you all, based on what you had in common, like we've been talking about so much in this season of how making friendship romantic, and when you go through something hard with a spouse or with a romantic partner, you were going through it with a friendship. So what did you learn about your friend that you hadn't learned about before when it comes to your friendship dynamics and your relationship?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think she, at the beginning of our friendship journey, when she lost her mom, we were really brand new friends. Mm-hmm. You know, we had just moved in together freshman year. It was early spring freshman year, so we'd known each other like 4 or 5 months. And I really wasn't too involved in that whole process. You know, I saw the aftermath of it, but really didn't even know the full extent of what was going on before her mom passed. And, you know, was able to support her afterwards. But I think back on that time a lot, I'm like, wow, we were so surface level then compared to now. And I think it was great. We had a couple years where everything was really, really good to have so much fun together and like build this awesome foundation of friendship where like we were in college, we were having fun, life was good. And then it was kind of like the anvil dropped again. And it really did kind of shift our relationship. You know, we got much, much closer. I think it became like a different level of like reliance on her, at least from my side, because I was cutting friendships down and really focusing on relationships that were important to me. I was like, oh, this friend, Kayla, I could not do this without her, which is a shift even for best friends. Like, you don't really think that way about friendships, I think. In normal times, definitely we got a lot closer. We had a lot more serious moments and a lot more serious conversations. Since my dad passing, he passed January of 2021. It's been an interesting shift even since his death as I kind of go into recovery phase. I think I realized only recently that we went through something so huge and we became closer than we ever had. But I think that also did kind of take away a lot of the fun of our relationship, the lightness that you have with friends, because it just, we had to be so serious for so long and went through so much together.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So that has been an interesting kind of thing to work on recently with our friendship is like, okay, we're still like so close. We know we can go to each other for anything. We know we've been through the worst pretty much with each other. But how do we bring that kind of fun spunk and like spontaneity back? And I think that's something we're still figuring out.
Well, I'll tell you, on Instagram, it looks like you guys are traveling the world.
I know.
You're having a really great time. Yeah. I mean, we have an old segment called Insta Friends or Reality. Yeah. Like, this is like truth. What's going on, Eva? How many stamps have you had so far on your passport? Because this is the next part of the conversation we want to have, which is like your soul journeying with your friends.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
the eat, pray, love of it all. Like, it's just like, it's gorgeous and beachy and, it's, yes. And what people see, it's like, oh, she's just like, COVID's over. Yay. She's going around. You're like, no, this was intentional. Right. I mean, I remember you telling me this probably in your interview, if not with your, hey, heads up. It's the beginning of this year. I'm probably going to take this class. I'm probably going to leave. I'm going to travel. Also, you guys, just so you know, I'm going to travel. Like, I just remember it being so vision boardy all over yeah. your emails. So once your father passed, it was this mission, right?
Yes, definitely. I think, you know, having someone dying in your household really locks you down for so long. And obviously, like, we were happy to be there with him. But it also, I mean, with everything, all those transitions we talked about, it felt like I was really stuck in a lot of ways. You know, I had graduated college and gotten the part-time job with you guys, but I really wanted to be kind of figuring out long-term career-wise, like what I wanted to do. I wanted to be able to get a full-time job. I wanted to be able to leave and travel with my friends. Wanted to be able to party and like not feel guilty for being in San Diego and having fun. Wanted to be able to surf with my friends and just live life without ever feeling guilty. And that's something that I really struggled with when he was sick, both for like missing moments with him and for not supporting my mom in those moments. So it was very intentional as soon as he passed to live fully, live the life that I really wanted to live while he was sick. And so I've traveled a ton with my mom, and she and I have kind of, I think, come back to life together in a lot of different ways. And that has been really, really special. Yeah, every moment, every opportunity to travel with my friends, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Because you never know, if you got diagnosed with rare fatal brain cancer at 56, what would you want to look back on your life and have said you were able to do? And so I have definitely had a fun year since he passed away.
Now, my next question is, on those trips, did your friends fight? Did you fight with them at all? Like, did you learn new things about traveling with them?
No, I've been really lucky.
That's great.
Yeah, it's been really great. I think I'm very intentional with the friends I travel with. Also, I think it's easy to not fight when you're traveling compared to maybe like at home when you're living the pressures of working and all that kind of stuff. So no, we just go and live it up.
Was it ever a group, or was it just a duo? Did you always duo travel? The pictures, Instagram says duo, but I was curious.
Yeah, this year I've always gone, I think, with one friend or with my friend and my mom.
Speaking of having your mom go, I'm sure like it's been nice to sort of reinvent your, dare I say, friendship with your mom. You know, that's actually something we're having a big conversation about, is like, you know, a lot of people feel like it's not something you really call a friendship, but maybe it is at a certain point. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely think my dad's sickness kind of evolved my relationship with my mom to be more friendship, or at least more equal than it used to be. You know, I've always been pretty open that I wasn't that close to my dad. It wasn't like an everyday relationship for me, but it was her everyday relationship for 31 years of marriage. And so I think it was a whole different transition and journey for her that kind of required me to step into a parenting role at times to take care of her and take care of him. That really has shifted our relationship, I think, now for the better, but it was, we had a lot of growing pains at the beginning, a lot of fights.
Your age of just growing pains without a pandemic and without a fatal diagnosis. I mean, I fought with my mom at your age and we had growing pains, and they're finally, you know, the child maternal level, it just kind of leveled and evened out. So the fact that this was part of your journey with her, you're glad it happened, but what a walk.
Yeah.
What a walk to go through.
It was a long journey for sure. And now I would say we're more friends, more kind of on equal footing. We just have so much fun together now. We went to a Harry Styles concert together, dressed in the craziest matching outfits. It was awesome.
Can we get a photo of that for the blog?
Oh, heck yeah. I'll send it over.
I love that.
We love you. And we, you've always been one of the OG fam bams, and watching you, how you've been doing, even if from Instagram afar, we've been just so happy to love you from afar as your friends.
Aw, love you guys. You guys were a major part of my journey, and I really appreciate the escape that WAF gave me during a very hard time.
I know, we're all like holding back tears right now. We're like,
it's just because I'm a mom now, and all I do is cry.
I know right?
About things.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your vulnerability and sharing your story with listeners that have appreciated not only you, but also your work on WAF. I mean, this is whole like live life, love friendship conversation that is the mantra of what I would love listeners to get from this episode. And you've said a lot of those things already. Is there anything else you would like to end with when it comes to live life, love friendship?
Or maybe like a bit of advice if like, you know, maybe people out there have a friend that was in your situation, you know, maybe they can support them.
That's a great question too. Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're going through this, if you have a friend going through this, everyone's situation is really unique. I would just say communication is key with every relationship. No one can be expected to read your mind. And there was definitely times where I was struggling, where I was like, why can't you understand what I'm thinking right now? And so you just need to be open with your friends, like tell them when you're having a hard day, tell them when you're having a good day, and don't want to talk about what's happening at home. And if you do that, I think your friends will meet you where you need them to meet you.
Fabu.
We love you.
Lightning Wolf.
Yvette, do you have none, one, or multiple romantic friendships?
I have multiple. I have a lot of romantic friendships. I try to romanticize all my friendships.
You better work.
All the main characters of this story.
You better work. Okay. So, and what is your favorite on-screen friendship?
I'd have to say, this is a great question. I love it. Inigo Montoya and Cezic from The Princess Bride, the giant and Prepare to Die man.
It's so good.
So good. They bounce off each other. They support each other. They lift each other up when
literally,
really
if you're
stand.
Even drunk.
Yes. So I'm going to say those two.
I wonder, Pallavi, would you dunk my head in water over and over, like hot water and then cold water, until I was ready to like be cohesive? Would you
sure.
do that for me?
Wouldn't we all?
All right, this is not my lightning waff. Go ahead. This is Eva's. Go.
Okay. You'll recognize this question. In one word or a hyphen, what type of friend are you?
Attentive.
And what would you like to do better as a friend?
Think about myself less and try to think more about where my friends are coming from.
Great.
And lastly, Ms. Eva, what are friends for?
Gosh, I've been thinking about this question ever since you asked me to do WAF, because I know it's the last thing, and I've been trying to come up with something poetic. I'm like, oh, I just don't know. I think friends are for making the good moments better and making the hard moments less hard.
You did it. That was poetic.
I worked on it.
Ever prepared, Eva. Thank you for doing this with us. We're so, so happy to see you and catch up with you, and so happy to know that you're doing well and that you're being taken care of by all of the people in your life. And don't be a stranger.
Yes, thank you guys for having me back. It's great to be here. Great to catch up.
Talk to you. Bye.
One, two, three.
This episode was produced by Team Access Productions and Fast Nickel Inc. and presented by Hoo-Ha-Ha. Our supervising producer is Philip Sanchin.
Our consulting producers are Kathleen Cho and Rose Harwood.
Head of production and marketing is Anna Daneker. Digital content director is Susie Cabello.
Our production assistants are Daniela Heredia Vega and Julia Kelch.
Our podcast artwork is created by Aishwarya Sukesh. Original music is by Joey Sherman. Special thanks to Irresistible Force Publicity and Hari Savitala.
Don't forget to download the free Hoo Ha Ha app to listen to WAF and other exclusive women-led podcasts. And as always, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening now. This helps our show's visibility and helps us keep making it for you.
And find us on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and even TikTok at WAF Podcast. That's W-A-F-F Podcast. To find links to our exclusive vodcasts, live shows, shop merch, or even text us, visit WAFpodcast.com.
We truly appreciate you all checking in with us online. But you know that friend that you've been like, oh, I really haven't checked in with them in a while? Go do that.
Yeah, go do that now.